Yeah, I'm feeling quite warm this morning, but I left my denim jacket on because Wayne was looking so good, trying to dress like him. Just before we begin, I want to pray, and it's not because God's not here, because God is so evidently here, but I just love to commit this next moment to God. So why don't we join together? And God, I want to thank you that you are infinitely good. Lord, I want to thank you that your love endures forever. God, as it says in your word, that your goodness extends to all generations, God. And Lord, I want to thank you for this moment that we get to share right now. Lord, I thank you that you're doing something in this service. And God, I pray that you continue to speak to us, God, that it would be like seeds that go in deep and bring fruit, God. Lord, I pray that you would inspire each one of us this morning, God. Lord, let faith rise this morning. Lord, let hope rise this morning, God. Lord, I want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Lord, with each one of us individually and as each one of us as a collective, as your church, God. In Jesus' name, bless this time. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Worship was awesome this morning. I loved, it's good to have our very own Luke on bass this morning. Did anyone see that Luke was playing last night? They had a combined AAG service, massive service, and there's Lukey up on the bass representing. I love that. You know, you had a few people moving, and Luke was just wild. He's just bouncing all over the place, here, everywhere, praising God with absolutely everything within him. So at the moment, we're in a season called Kia Kaha. Can anybody remember what Kia Kaha means? Be strong, that's right. I think Pastor Don asked us about 5 times last week, so hopefully we've got it. Kia kaha, be strong. What's really funny is, kia kaha, be strong, obviously Māori. What we didn't know, I think, when we picked it, is this is actually Māori Awareness Week, as far as Māori language. How's that? So we're picking this because it's a word for us as a church, to be strong. And it's funny how God's timing, Māori Language Awareness Week, Kia kaha. And you know what made that famous as a statement is Akiaki Kia kaha e, which is what the 58th Māori Battalion used to sing when they went into battle. The 58th Māori Battalion, I think they're the most awarded New Zealand battalion, the Māori Battalion, Kia kaha. Akiaki kia kaha e, which means forever, forever be strong. That's what they encouraged each other with. And I love, and you know, I'm totally sidetracking just for a second, but I just want to share it. I love, so I, believe it or not, I actually studied Māori at school. And what I love about that language, and I just love languages. What I love about that language is you guys know, obviously, can somebody tell me what hello is in Māori? Kia ora. Kia ora, yeah. So you've got kia kaha, be strong. Hello in Māori is kia ora, kia ora. And ora means life and vitality and wellness. So in the Māori language, when I say hello to Pastor Don, I say kia ora, probably with a hongi as well. I'm essentially prophesying over him, be well, have life. How cool is that? And then you got kia kaha, where we're pronouncing and we're prophesying over each other to be strong. How cool is that? That was 2 cents for free. So this morning, what I want to do is I just want to share out of a couple of key passages. And then I've got a word that I really feel is for us as a church, right? So if you got your Bibles this morning, or your iPhones, or your Samsungs, or your Huawei's, or your whatever, maybe the old analog like I've got this morning, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58. This is our kind of our hero scripture for the season. Let's see if the analog Bible people were there before the iPhones. Yep, look at that. Competition. All right, so 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58, and this is our hero scripture this morning. It says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." I'm going to read that again. "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So this morning we're looking at the first letter to the church in Corinth. I'm looking forward to, September the 30th, we've got this movie about Paul. So no doubt in there's going to be probably a moment where you see Paul's life and his missions, trips, and going around those different cities. But the church of Corinth was this big metropolis. It was a port city. So if we're thinking about New Zealand, it's basically Auckland. And he's writing to the church in, let's just say Auckland, but Church of Corinth, because they've got a whole lot of problems going on. Shock, horror, churches with some problems. So, I remember someone once said, all churches are perfect until you turn up. It's true, right? All churches are perfect until you turn up. So he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's dealing with a bunch of issues, and he basically addresses them. And then he talks to them about how to sort it out through the lens of the gospel. And the gospel being the good news of Christ, that Christ came, that Christ made a way that we could be made whole, that we could be made righteous before God. And here, right at the end, he's encouraging the church to stand firm, to let nothing move them, to be immovable, kia kaha. And to give themselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So he's encouraging them, stick at it, because who knows? When I read a word like the word labor, it sounds like hard work, right? I mean, when I think of labor, I think of either manual labor, like grabbing a shovel and you're digging, or I'm thinking of the two opportunities I've had to be in the room with my wife in labor. It's hard work. Every mum in the place will be like, amen. Hard work. And so Paul is encouraging them to stand firm, to keep at it, that their labor, the work of the Lord, is not in vain. So what is that labor? So we're gonna jump over into 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I definitely think the analog Bibles are going to win this morning, because you're turning basically one page. Already there. Look at that. Speed. And here Paul again is writing to the same church, and this is where he's talking about what that labor is. And in 5, and we're looking at verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who is no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." See, God is calling us to be his ambassadors. God is calling us. The work of the Lord is to share the good news, that Christ has made a way so that we could be reconciled to God. If we think back to when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? He began with to love God with basically everything, your whole being. But then he jumped in with that one big, which is to love others. You see, Paul is encouraging the church, even now, through that letter, he's encouraging us to stand firm, to keep at it, that our labor in the work of the Lord and loving others as ourselves and, you know, seeing the things that we desire and the needs that we have and making that a reality for others, seeing others and helping them to come into a knowledge and a freedom of knowing that they could be right before God, He's encouraging us to stick at that, to dig in. And you know what, I was thinking about, I guess, these two scriptures, you know, to stand firm, not to give up in that labor, that to thinking about, you know, loving others as ourselves, thinking about being ambassadors in Christ. And I kept getting this picture. And the picture is this. And I know that statistically, in 2 weeks, you guys aren't going to remember 90% of what I say this morning. So I'm hoping the 10% is this, all right? So as I'm thinking about these scriptures, I was thinking of an analogy of what it is to labor in the Lord's work as digging wells, all right? Digging wells. And I think it's a pretty good analogy, and I'm going to take you through it, of what it is to stick at it, to labor in the Lord's work, to dig wells. The other thing is I believe it's a prophetic word for us as a church this morning, to take our spades and to dig wells. So we're going to talk about this morning. So who knows what's inside a well? It's not a trick question. Water. Nailed it. Nailed it. Water are in wells, right? So where you build a well is where the water is. There's no point digging where there's no water. So where you dig a well, there the water is. And Wayne, why don't you jump up? I'm going to use you as a little bit of an illustration this morning, only because we're just an opportunity for everyone to see that we're dressed the same this morning. Take a hold of this. So, you know, Wayne is an awesome specimen of a human being. He's getting married very soon to the lovely Mal. How exciting is that? And Lord, we pray blessing over those wedding plans, God, and everything in that lead up, that you would just help things to fall into place in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've got Wayne here. Now, something that's incredible that we don't often think about is the fact that a good chunk of Wayne here is water. In fact, there's more water here than my glass and my bottle of water. A good chunk of this man is water. Water's a very important thing. If Wayne decided that he was not going to drink water or have anything that had water in it for the next 4 days, the wedding's off. That's how important water is. Now, I've definitely had a little bit of a revelation about that recently when I've been trying to cut down my coffee addiction. So, in cutting down my coffee addiction, not only have I been getting a little bit of a headache, because it is a little bit of a drug, but I haven't been replacing that with water. And so I'm starting to get a little bit dehydrated. So, poor Wayne, if he decides he's going to have nothing with water for the next 4 days, sorry, Mal, wedding's off. You can sit down. So, water is an incredibly vital element. In fact, if we think about strength and if we think about staying strong and not being weary and not being faint and having the fuel to keep going, water is probably one of the most important things there. Water is so important and is so vital. And that's in the physical sense. So in the spiritual sense, the Bible has a lot to say about water and what that represents. And for those taking notes this morning, we're not going to go to these scriptures, but here's a few of those metaphors when it talks to wells and fountains of water. Water is used as a metaphor for salvation. So in Isaiah 12 verse 3, it says, "Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." You see, God provides an opportunity for us to not just have a drink of salvation, but essentially draw water out of the well of salvation. I love this, that water is a metaphor for life. in Jeremiah 17, verse 13, it says, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. It was a prophetic word encouraging people not to turn away, but to come to God because he is a fountain of living water. Which reminds me of Jesus in John, where he talks in chapter 4 and in chapter 7 about him being living water. And that with him, there are springs of living water. Again, not just a drink of life from God, but that we would be able to draw on him springs of living water. Again, water is used to represent refreshment or to satisfy. Jeremiah 31 verse 25 says, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. And in Isaiah 55, 1, I love this. It's a prophetic word about Jesus coming, and it says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. I love that. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. See, water is a great metaphor for life, for salvation, for refreshment, to sustain us. God has that for us. And it's funny because I was thinking about the fact that we don't really think too much about water, right? Just like Wayne probably until this moment hasn't thought about his 8 glasses a day or whatever they tell you you're meant to be drinking. He just goes about life eating and drinking as normal, right? But that water is so vital to his life, to him being fueled, to keep on going, to wake up every morning and to do what he needs to do. And it's funny that you don't really think about where the water comes from because you just turn the tap on, right? You turn the tap on and it flows. Because we are so blessed to live in a nation where you got town supply. I was talking to one of my colleagues who has a house on Waiheke. Completely different story. On Waiheke, he's got tank water and Stanmore Bay. Okay, there's a few people here who aren't on town supply. Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about when it comes to summer and it's dry and you take those extra showers because you come back from the beach and you want to wash all the salt out, or you don't. I know because, okay, so I grew up north and we had tank water, so we had the old big bucket that you'd use as the outdoor shower. But for most of us, we wouldn't think twice about having those extra showers, right, or drinks or whatever. But if you're on tank water, summer's that time. My colleague, he's already booked in the water truck for summer because they're already booked out until February. So if he wants extra water, the truck's got to come. Now, I was lucky growing up in that we had tank water, but we had a spring that was going through our property deep down in the ground. So what Dad did is he got, well, to be honest, he didn't just grab one of these. But let's pretend. He grabbed one of these and he dug a hole down deep and we had a well. So if we ran out of tank water, we had well water. You don't think twice until suddenly you realize that your water might be finite. And that was especially important to the ancient Hebrews. And the reason why it was important was because they were nomadic people. So they were always traveling, they were always journeying, and they needed to find water. So what was important was when you came to a place, you dug down deep and you built a well. So we're going to go to Genesis 26 this morning because I think there's a couple awesome points here as far as a metaphor for digging wells. And it says here, it's Genesis 26. If you're taking notes, we're going to read a little bit here, starting in verse 12. Here's an example of how important wells were and how they went about life. And it says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and in the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. I think I'm going to stop here. 100-fold is insane. 100-fold means I have one, and now I have 100. Imagine timesing by 100. The other thing, and this is 2 cents for free, it also said he planted crops. He went and he did the work, and God blessed it. I still haven't found any examples in the Bible of get-rich-quick schemes. God loves to bless you when you put in the mahi, the work. So it says, Isaac planted the crops and he reaped 100-fold. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. And he had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in that time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Basically, stopping him from being able to get water. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up, and gave them the names his father had given them. Remember that, we're going to come back to that. He gave them the names his father had given them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So we named the well Esek because they disputed with him. And then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also and named it Sitnah. And then he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled. Man, he would have felt good, not getting pushed out. And he named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." See, unless you had a well, you're trusting rain, you're looking for streams. But if you got a well, you can put your roots down deep, and you can flourish. And then it says, from there he went up to Beersheba. And that night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." And Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And there he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. No, I love that. So he's traveling. God finally takes him to a place where he's got room to stop. He builds an altar. He pitches his tent. And then his servants get underway building and digging a well. So what I get from that, and I believe is a great metaphor, is so God has called each one of us. God has spoken to each one of us. We've each had, you know, if we've taken a moment to stop and to surrender to God, we've had an encounter with him, building an altar. There God calls us to pitch our tent, to stay there with him, and then to get underway digging a well. Because who knows what's in a well? Nailed it, guys. Nailed it. Water. What does water represent? Salvation. Life. Sustenance, refreshment. God is calling us to dig a well. And so I was thinking about that. Why do I think that digging a well is a perfect example of not giving up in the labor of the work that God has given us? Because who knows, point number one, digging a well is hard work. See, I brought my spade, and you guys will be pleased to see it's dirty. And it's got chips, and you can see a little bit of, you can see that silver coming through. It used to be nice, perfect, and black. Yeah. I did not buy the spade for the purposes of a sermon illustration. I've used this thing. And I can tell you, digging is hard work. Who's ever done a lot of digging before? You agree with me, it's hard work. Just the other day, so on our at our house out the back, we had a bunch of flax trees. We had this wild ginger that was growing. We had a whole lot of things that we wanted to clear. And we can't just cut those and take them away because the roots are down deep. And I don't want those things growing back. I get sick of house maintenance and gardening and all that sort of stuff. So I had to grab my trusty garden spade and start digging, getting rid of those roots. And who knows that you're cutting down and then you have those moments where you're pushing down hard and you're feeling all like, you know, this will cut through anything, and you hit a tree root and it jars your wrists. And then you keep digging and then you hit something else and jar your wrists, and then you keep digging, and then finally you feel the spade go down deeper, and you're like, cool, that must be where the edge is, and then the work begins. You dig, and you dig, and you dig. And that's not even digging a well, that's just digging some roots around a couple of trees. Imagine digging deep down into a well. My first point, digging wells is hard. It is easy to get started. It can be a bit hard to finish. And that's why I love Paul. Paul in all his letters where he's saying, stand firm, be strong. Your labor's not in vain, guys. Keep going. You know, he talks again about it being like a race. Run the race to finish. Don't run the race to see if you're the fastest person to the first corner. Run the race to finish. I wish I had that advice the first time I did a cross-country race. I remember sprinting my heart out as a five-year-old to that first corner in the lead, only to have everyone pass me and me barely make it over the finish line. Run the race to finish. Dig the well to get to the water. It's hard work. You know, if someone ever tells you that the Christian life is easy, don't believe it. I'm sorry. It's worth it. It's not easy. But God is with us to help us and to encourage us and to push us through. Who knows that digging by yourself is hard work, but when you do it with others, it's a whole lot easier. Even if it's, that other weekend when I'm digging and I'm digging and I'm trying to cut up all the roots and dig them out, Cole, my oldest, turning four this week, rocks up with his spade. He starts digging away. Like, let's be honest, he's not doing a very good job. I'm getting a mouthful of dirt every now and then thrown into my face. But it kind of spurs you to keep going. It could have been easy for me to stop. And who knows that digging with others makes it a whole lot easier. And I was thinking about that. What is it like in our walk? It's coming along to church where you can, you know, be with, our family, and be encouraged. It's also I groups. Pastor Don and I were talking about I groups the other day, and I groups are so important because it's an opportunity to talk and to come alongside other people and have them spur you on. I groups is so important. You know, it's so easy if you do this by yourself to become disillusioned, but if you do it with others, you're spurred on. The third point I have this morning is that digging wells is messy. It's not just the spade. In fact, I've got a little bit of dirt here. Hopefully I don't drop it on the carpet because then I'm vacuuming afterwards. But it's not only going to be dirt on the spade, it's going to get under your fingernails, it's going to get all over your hands, it's going to get over your clothes. If you're digging with someone like Cole, you're going to get a mouthful of dirt, you're going to get dirt in your face. If you're digging in clay, clay is worse than dirt. It's not only harder to dig, but it's harder to get out of your clothes afterwards. Digging is messy. You know, as we dig together, you're going to have to deal with some people's attitudes. You're going to get a little bit of dirt on you. You're going to have to deal with some people's attitudes. You're going to have to deal with somebody who's not doing it quite right or doing it the same way you would do it. You're going to get a little bit of dirt on you. You know, as I'm thinking about that, you're essentially going to deal with the messes of life, because who knows that life can get a little bit messy sometimes. Yeah. When you're digging, it's going to get dirty. So the challenge is, forget about the dirt, forget about the mess, think about the water. What we're doing is we're digging down deep, building wells where people can receive the water. They can receive salvation, they can receive life, they can receive sustenance, refreshment because of the work. Be strong, stand firm, be immovable. Because the labor of the Lord's work is worth it. And the final point here, digging wells is investing in the future. You see, just as Paul was saying that the labor of the Lord's work is not in vain, that not in vain, when you look at the Greek, means to not come up empty. That's the promise of God, that as we work and as we labor, as we love others, as we bring people into an awareness of His goodness, that God has made a way that they could be right before Him, that they don't have to go through life wondering whether they're on the right side of God or on the wrong side of God, of, you know, whether, you know, God is looking down favorably on them or not looking down on them favorably. God promises as we do that, that we do not come up empty. And I love that. I was thinking about that, you know, the digging the wells. It's not just people waiting for the next rain. And I was thinking about that, like standing on the altar, like this morning when, you know, God's presence is here and we're in a time of worship, and it can be like rain. You guys know, you know what I'm talking about? It's like rain sometimes in God's presence, and you just feel refreshed and you go out there. It's not just relying on finding a stream and you have a drink, but you don't know whether that stream is going to dry up at some point. Digging a well means that you have an opportunity to draw water. Like Jesus says, you know, to the Samaritan woman, you might drink from this well, it'll quench your thirst, you'll be thirsty again. Come to me, and I'll give you springs of living water so you won't thirst again. It's digging in the Word, it's digging in prayer, it's digging in worship, creating an opportunity for God to refresh with His water. And we do it for each other. And I think about, you know, that it's an investment in the future. I think about myself. It's so important for me to get into the Word, to pray and to worship, not just for me, but for my family. Because I know that if I do that, I can inspire my family and encourage my family in pressing into God. I don't do it just for Kim and I do it for my kids, so as they grow up, they can see an example of what it means to press into God and to be refreshed, to press into God and to have life in any season. I don't do it just for me and my family and my kids, but I do it because for my community, it means that they can see that if you press into God, you can receive life. If you press into God, you can tap into that refreshment, no matter what season you're going through. That's why I do it. And that's why I believe that God is calling us to dig wells, because it's not just for us. It's for our church, it's for our community, and it's for the generations. You see, something that's important to me is that it wouldn't just be for us here and now, but when I think about Cole and Harvey and they're my age, I hope they're a whole lot further than I ever was. It's about the generations. It's about, you know, our kids out there in kids' church. By the time they're Pastor Don's age, by the time they're Terry's age, even, you know, older and beyond, that they are so much further than we ever were. And I heard a couple of laughs. I didn't mean that you're old, by the way. I did not mean that. We're going to take that off the recording. But when they're at our age, us collectively, that they will be so much further than we ever were, inspiring people to come along and to experience God's goodness, His life, His salvation, His refreshing and His sustenance, so that they too can be strong, that they too can stand firm, and that they too can be immovable. So I believe that God is wanting us to work with Him in building something here as a church, Inspire, that people can come and be inspired. I mean, there's no mistake in the name of this church and God's calling on this house that people would be inspired. And it's not just for us. It's for the people that will come in these walls. It's not even just for within these walls. It's the people that would engage with us out there, outside of these walls, in your workplace, while you're shopping, while you're living life, that people would be inspired. And this morning, I want to thank you guys who have picked up a spade and have just got in there and dug. This morning, I want to thank you guys who have paid for some spades. This morning, I want to thank you guys who have cooked up a great feed and provided water to fuel the people digging. This morning, I want to thank the people here who have grabbed a spade and jumped in when someone was feeling tired so that we could keep going. And this morning, I want to encourage you, if you're new or potentially you've just been through a season where maybe you've just been felt like maybe you've been a little bit more of a spectator, grab a spade, jump in, start digging, join a life, an I group, get stuck in the church, jump on a team, because our labor in the Lord's work is not in vain. You know, I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do. And God is calling each one of us to grab a spade and to start digging. And I love just these last two scriptures as I close. 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God will do this, for He is faithful to do what He says. And He has invited you into partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, we don't just do this by ourselves. We do this with God. We're partnering in what God is doing. And I love this. Isaiah 40, 30 to 31. And this is an encouragement to anybody this morning who may be feeling it. You've been digging and you're feeling it. This is a word for you. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not faint. This morning I want to encourage you. Hope in God and He will sustain you. Hope in God and He will make you strong. Kia kaha. Hope in God and He will make you immovable. He will make you to stand firm. He will allow you to keep digging. He will give you that second wind when you need it. Hope in God. And I just want to welcome the band up just as we close this morning. So remember, if we take anything out of this morning, as statistically you forget 90% of it, digging wells, grab a spade. I know someone in 2 weeks is going to be like, so I remember you saying grab a spade and digging a well, but what does digging a well mean? Remember, what's in a well? Nailed it. Water. It's all about creating an opportunity that people can encounter God, that people can encounter His life, His salvation, and His refreshing. Why don't we stand this morning? And God, I want to thank You so much for Your word, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for your encouragement. God, I want to thank you that, as it says, that you are for us, not against us, God. Lord, I want to thank you that, as it says, and we've read this morning, God, that you will make it happen, that you'll bring it to pass, that you are faithful. But God, I also want to thank you that, as God, you have shared through your word, that if we hope on you, that you will give us strength. You are so worthy, God. You are so worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. You know what, church? I believe that God doesn't want us to lose an opportunity right now. You know, God's been speaking to us throughout this morning about, you know, wherever you're at, taking a step. Whether you're on the riverbank, taking a step to your ankles, whether you're at your ankles to your waist, if you're at your waist to your submerged, the prayer meeting, that maybe this morning you're feeling like a plant that still has that plastic all around you and you need that busted off you this morning. And I love that. I love God because Pam had no idea that I was going to start preaching basically an agricultural analogy. And God is saying this morning to grab a spade and keep digging. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to open up the altar. And however God is calling you to take a step forward, why don't you come? Maybe you want prayer that God would just bring you into a new season. Maybe you want prayer that God would break down whatever is confining you this morning. Maybe you want prayer for a miracle. Maybe you want prayer for healing. Maybe this morning, as you're listening, you're thinking like, man, God, I just need some of that water. I just need some salvation. I just need you. I need your life. Why don't you come this morning? Any of those things. And the ministry team is going to come and pray. And if you're feeling submerged and you're feeling good, just worship away and just pray maybe where you are for the people down here. But this morning, we're gonna make the most of this opportunity. Wherever you're at, why don't you just take that step this morning, and God promises He will meet you where you are. So why don't you come as we worship, ministry team, why don't we pray for these guys?